Well, today we're going to go beyond talent. So hang on, here we go. Welcome back. This is Bradley Waldrop, and we are talking about project leadership. We're talking about leadership. We're talking about initiative. We're talking about all kinds of things. And over the last couple days, I have been sort of struck by some of my own sort of my own personal experiences that got me to where I am, but also that have nothing to do with work. And but they actually relate directly to work, and then you can kind of see how some of those stories weave their way into work. So what I'd like to be able to do is just sort of, I don't know, go through a series of maybe struggles that you might see in your own career that I've seen in mine. I really wish that you and I could have this conversation across a table and I could ask you a whole bunch of questions. Because, you know, I could come across as totally presumptuous, like I know it all, and I don't. I don't know your story. I don't know my neighbor's story. I would like to know them, and I do what I can to ask questions when I'm available or when someone else is in the room, and I'm naturally curious. But because you're listening to this, that means it's like a one-way communication. So, you know, if it comes across as pompous and presumptuous, my heartfelt apologies for that. It's not my intention. What my intention is to try to put myself into your shoes, to try to put myself into history where I have been, and explain my own journey, and maybe you guys get a chance to relate to it a little bit. So, as we talk about this journey, you may or may not have heard I was a high performing athlete. In high school, I got in my sort of athletic groove late in my own life. I mean, most of my friends, you know, they were playing Pop Warner football when they were really young. They were doing some sort of, you know, either intercollegiate sport or intramural sport in middle school. I ran track and I was slow. I threw the shot put and I threw short. I tried to play basketball. I played basketball when I was in elementary school. I really, really, really enjoyed it. But if you've ever seen me, I'm vertically challenged. So, I don't play basketball. I used to play basketball a lot in the street and what have you. And I really enjoyed the sport, but everybody else got bigger than me. I played football. I played tag or flag football in middle school or junior high. I keep calling it middle school only because my kids are older. I mean, my kids went through an educational process where we called it middle school. When I was a kid, it was called junior high. So in junior high, I played flag football, and then in high school, I played football. I was small, I was short, I was slow. So in my freshman year, my sophomore year, I really, really struggled. I tried real hard. I played receiver, I played quarterback. But that was really it wasn't great. I was on the varsity football team my junior and senior year. I think I was on the varsity football team my junior year because they just felt sorry for me. During my senior year, I had a few interceptions, had a few key tackles. I enjoyed playing the sport, but I wasn't super passionate about it. It wasn't the kind of thing that I really, really wanted to excel in. And for a couple of different reasons, one of which I felt like I was short on talent, and I wasn't physically, you know, the same build as the other guys that I was playing with. I did happen to find sort of a groove when I was in high school in wrestling, and it's really kind of interesting because I came into high school. Let me sort of walk you back a little bit. I was in high school my freshman year. I was 5'2", 105 pounds. Right. So 5 foot two, 105 pounds. I was at 105 pounds wringing wet. I mean, I wasn't well built, and I was a little pudgy. I'd been always a little pudgy all my life. I'm a lot more pudgy now than I was then, and I'm trying to do something about it, but that's a completely different story for a different day. So in high school, though, I got a chance to be exposed to this sport of wrestling. And for me, wrestling was great because I got a chance to participate from a team event, right, where we all do our best, and then an individual event. I tried swimming, which is a very individual, it's a very similar, right? It's a very individual event, but you also participate in the team. The problem with swimming for me is that I had my head underwater all the time and I couldn't talk. And that was a challenge for me. So I didn't like it anymore. As far as a sport, I still love jumping in a pool and swimming, but, as a sport, I couldn't handle the practice. It was just too much silence. It didn't work for me. Well, there's plenty of yelling and screaming and hollering, in wrestling. And what's really interesting to me in this sport of wrestling is that there is raw talent, but there's also practice, and that practice makes you better and better and better and better. And one of the things that I found was happening in my own sort of wrestling career is that I got to a point where my personal coach couldn't do much better for me, and that was okay. I wasn't trying to go to college on a wrestling scholarship, but I did want to be really, really good. I got a chance to go to a wrestling camp, and that wrestling camp was a week long. From a high schooler's perspective, it was like a month long. It took forever, but I learned a lot, and I learned a few different things. One, positive mental attitude. Another is going above and beyond what everyone else is doing. So if you are in your own sort of world, right, and you have a set of skills, you have talent, you have natural talent, well, given the same amount of effort, everyone with very similar natural talent is going to sort of be at the same spot. But in order to be really good, you have to give the extra 10%. You have to give the extra 20%. Well, so that was very clear to me. I came back from that wrestling camp thinking, man, what an amazing thing. I wish I had had this my freshman year. I wish I had gone back and done something similar my sophomore year. And then again, in my junior year, by the time I was a senior, I probably would have been sort of state champion, you know, level wrestler. I was sectional, you know, level wrestler, not state. I could have been national. Because of the training that comes from these sort of intensives. Well, the intensive part is short, right? You get coached and then you do something with it and you put in the extra effort and you sort of turn these lessons into habits. And pretty soon these lessons and habits become part of who you are and you start to perform at a much higher level. The same is true in our work. I can remember when I first started engineering, I used to get in trouble. I got in trouble in the very beginning of my career when I was doing, I did overtime work because I had made mistakes. So look, if you all can remember, in your own career, when you first started, you thought, man, I'm getting an hourly paycheck. Somebody's going to pay me for every hour I'm here. And I tell you what, I got in a lot of trouble for that kind of attitude, and I don't want anybody here getting in trouble for the same attitude. I actually shifted my attitude after I had a sit-down with my boss. Nadir, if you're listening, thank you very much for the sit-down. So the sit-down was, hey, I was working on some drafting. I can't remember exactly what project it was. I was working on some drafting. And at the same time, I was working on some database development for some cost estimating. The database component of it was something I was super interested in, but no one really asked me to do it. It was just me taking initiative, kind of like what we were talking about before. And I sort of screwed things up, and I kept working on it, finally got it done. Well, I turned in my timesheet, and I had all this overtime. And I had overtime because, well, I was trying to solve the problem. And my boss at the time, Nadir, sat down with me and he said, I don't understand where all this overtime came from. And I told him, I said, well, I'm super excited. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to get this thing fixed, but it's taking me a lot longer to get it fixed than what I thought it was going to take me. And so I put it on my timesheet, and he kind of looked at me and he shook his head and he goes, no, that's not the way it works around here. And so I learned a couple different lessons. One is I'm willing to put in the extra effort. The other is I should communicate better about how to do that. Well, but so here's what happened though. Here's the transformation is when I was younger in my career, I thought I was entitled to the overtime. And then I realized through the following couple years that I wasn't entitled to the overtime, but if I wanted to excel in my career, I needed to put in the extra effort. If I made a mistake during the day, I had to stay late in the afternoon to get it done on my own time. If I was behind on my deadlines because I gave a promise that I'd get it done in 10 hours and I didn't get it done in 10 hours, I was in on a weekend making up the time and getting it done and not putting it on my timesheet. I was doing what I had to do to excel in the technical performance of my work, and I wanted other people to recognize that I was committed to do this and to do it well. Now, what I can tell you is that there are other people who I've worked with in my own career, and I'm surrounded by them all the time, that were either more advanced than I was when I started my career, right? They had already had a few years in, or When I finally met up with them, they maybe were better at it than I was. Well, for the majority of the people I work with now, I have advanced my career farther and faster than them, and I don't think it's because I'm any smarter than them. I think it's because I took the time and took the energy to start working on things at home, at the office late at night, going in early and not clocking in, working on the weekends, reading where I could, finding other people that knew how to do it and starting asking their questions. And so what I'm trying to say is that there is a way for us to perform very, very well, even if we're in a talent pool that is as high achievers, right? So high achievers is great, but high achievers plus the extra effort means a lot more. And you're going to find that is one of the things that is going to set you apart in your own career. It's not about sitting in your desk, asking your boss what to do, and then, you know, not behaving with integrity, not integrity, but with the initiative that we talked about a couple episodes ago. But it's also about trying to figure out what it is you personally lack. Ask other people for feedback. What is it that you're doing well? What is it that you suck at? What is it that you feel uncomfortable with so that you can get more comfortable with it? What do you have a passion for that maybe you're not being exposed to at work, but you need to figure it out? Where are the gaps along the way? Find a course, find a book, find a coach, find a mentor. Fill in those gaps so that you can take your career way past where everybody else is. I got to tell you, I am absolutely blessed. And one of these days, one of these shows, I will talk about how I advance from one position to the next and one job to the next. But I can tell you that this is a fascinating career, and it's a career that would have never been made if I had settled for mediocrity. If I had just said, hey, look, I've got a pretty good talent in math and science. I've got a pretty good talent with people skills, and that's where I'm going to leave it. You know what? I could have parked myself at an office management, a team management, or a project management role many, many years ago, had the same paycheck, been just fine, but that's not my personality. And I don't think it's your personality either. You wouldn't be listening to this particular show. So here's my encouragement to you. Go and figure out what it is the gaps are that you have, even if you have to take some guesses. Start writing them down. Today, I want to learn more about marketing. Today, I want to learn more about conflict resolution. Today, I want to learn more about negotiations. Today, I want to learn more about human resources and how to build strong teams. Today, I want to learn a little bit more about the difference between leadership and management. Today, I want to learn about so on and so forth, right? And list all of those, put some priorities to them, and go do them. All right. And then when you do them, all of a sudden you're going to realize that over a period of time, and it's a short period of time, the difference between you knowing a little bit and you being the expert at it, it's not that much more effort. All right. And so please put the time and energy in. If this was an encouragement to you, please let me know. I would love to hear in an email what you are sort of trying to fill some gaps for and what you've decided to do in order to do that. And I would love it if you would send that email to Bradley@WaldropCommunications.com. Again, Bradley@WaldropCommunications.com. And I mean, really encourage me by hearing how I'm encouraged. You know, I want to know that you're doing something with the information that we're putting out here. And I'm encouraged to know that, you can take your current career, even if it is somewhat mediocre, and create it to be absolutely excellent. So with all of that, man, I really, really appreciate you sitting here and listening. And if I did tick you off by being totally presumptuous about me talking about my own experiences, hit me up in the email and tell me that, you know, go pound sand. I'm all right with that. All right. Well, until next time, take care.
If you're looking to accelerate your career with battle-tested and purpose-built tools from seasoned veterans, then make your way over to AECProfessionalMatters.com. We're giving away the Project Leader Survival Kit. In this kit, you're going to get the Priority Gate. This seemingly simple tool will give you the power to share the limelight with others and prioritize your tasks for effectiveness. It's the same tool I use to double my output, cut my stress in half, and break away from the reputation I inherited as a young engineer. Without this, your supervisor and other company leaders won't stop looking at you as the young, wet behind the ears engineer, and you'll continue to be stuck in your career. You'll also get the Foxhole Signaling Device. This earns you respect faster than anything else you've tried. It lets you walk the walk and talk the talk. Using this tool saves time, money, and makes your team more effective and proves to your entire team that you aren't selfish. Lastly, you get the Service Business Decoder. This simple primer is the business school in a box you didn't know you needed in college. It's a shortcut to understanding how our business works and what numbers project leaders like you have complete control over. After you see this, you're going to have the ammunition you need to help your operations manager shine so you get what you need to grow an amazing team. This is 31 years in the making. It's like getting an advanced degree. We should be charging thousands of dollars for this, but we want you to accelerate your journey. That's why we're giving it away at AECProfessionalMatters.com. Just go to AECProfessionalMatters.com/power and complete the form so we can get it to you right away.
Well, there you have it. There is another way for you to be able to take advantage of this going beyond talent and putting in the extra effort. There are resources that we have available online. I would love for you to jump in there, but hit me up, Bradley@WaldropCommunications.com. Tell me what the challenge is in front of you and how we can help you. Until then, take good care of yourself and take good care of your team.